Welcome to the third episode of Gadget Forecast. I am your host, Siddharth, and in today's episode, I'm going to be talking about two broad topics that many of my listeners have requested me to cover. Number one, the Boycott China movement, where I will be discussing the ground reality behind this burning matter with respect to the smartphone industry and present a broader and practical view on the entire situation while looking at possible alternatives that we have in our hands. Number two is where I will provide a comprehensive guide on the top three smartphones that you can buy between a budget of ₹10,000 to ₹15,000. Also, I will be giving away a bonus tip towards the end of the episode, which I guarantee will be extremely useful in finalizing your phone from the top three list. So make sure you stay till the very end. Moreover, if you need assistance in your gadget purchases, be it smartphones, headphones, smart devices, etc., do reach out to me on the Instagram handle of Gadget Forecast for a personalized one-to-one consultation. So, without much further ado, let's get this episode started. Number 1. The Boycott China Movement, a brief overview and its current state. I think this is one particular issue which needs absolutely no introduction to my listeners. On 15th June 2020, in the Galwan Valley LAC of Ladakh, 20 Indian soldiers were killed with 35 casualties on the Chinese side in a hand-to-hand combat clash, the first such incidental deaths since the 1975 clash at the Arunachal border. The hashtag Boycott China movement is a retaliatory step taken by the Indian traders and consumers to reduce India's dependency on Chinese brands and imported goods. Given the sheer volume of Indo-China trade and also the reliability of Indian industry and consumers alike on Chinese goods and capital, boycotting China is easier said than done. This is further aggravated by the poor economic condition India is at present, with the World Bank predicting India's GDP to witness a fall of up to 2.5% this year. But I won't be deep diving into all the elements of this movement and the resulting trade war. Rather, I shall be focusing on the particulars of the Indian smartphone industry and all the aspects associated with it. So, let's shift gears and move to point number 2, the present scenario of the Indian smartphone market. Let's start by taking a look at all the smartphone manufacturers that are currently active in the Indian market. There's Apple, Samsung, Xiaomi, Vivo, OnePlus, Realme, Oppo, Motorola, Asus, LG, Huawei, Nokia and HTC. Now, if we were to bifurcate all of these brands into two categories, the non-Chinese and the Chinese brands, under the non-Chinese category, there's gonna be Apple, Samsung, Asus, LG, Nokia and HTC. Now, suppose you're looking to buy a proper budget smartphone with the latest specs in India from a non-Chinese brand. The only option that you're gonna be having from all of the brands that I just mentioned is Samsung. Why? Let's see. Asus was making some great budget smartphones under the Zenfone series up until last year, but off late they have completely gone off the radar on their budget offerings for no apparent reason. Same is the case with Nokia, with no new smartphones since the last product launch in 2019. Also, we see LG's name pop up here and there once in a blue moon, so not something that we can consider. HTC, well, it won't be wrong to say that HTC is kind of dead in India. So, like I said, the only option is Samsung. You know, let's keep budget smartphones aside for a while. Suppose you want to buy a top-of-the-line flagship Snapdragon 865 smartphone in India. What would be your non-Chinese options? Frankly, nothing. That's right, because in that segment of non-Chinese brands, Samsung only launched their own manufactured flagship Exynos 990 variant of the Galaxy S20 in India. So yeah, if you want to buy a flagship Snapdragon smartphone, you don't really have a non-Chinese choice. But then again, this is a massive opportunity for brands like Asus, Nokia, HTC, basically any other non-Chinese brands to revamp their product lineup in India, because right now, if I want to buy a flagship Snapdragon 865 smartphone that's non-Chinese, I honestly don't have any option. This brings us to point number 3, an analysis of the problem in hand. Well, if you introspect and look closely, you will observe that Chinese smartphones are famous in India because of two major factors: amazing specifications and aggressive pricing. I know there are concerns surrounding the privacy of these phones, but at the end of the day, when it comes down to catering to a massive market like India, it's undeniable that brands like OnePlus, Realme, and even Xiaomi are extremely value for money options. So it all kind of boils down to one question. How can we reduce our dependency on Chinese smartphones? To address that, let me start by dividing the Indian smartphone market into four distinct categories. Number one, made in China smartphones. Number two, Chinese branded smartphones assembled in India. Number three, non-Chinese branded smartphones made in China. And number four, made in India smartphones. Well, the first category of made in China phones are products that are entirely made in China, starting right from manufacturing of the internal hardware components to their final assembly. For example, the ZTE Nubia Red Magic phone. Now, these phones don't really benefit us. Yes, some shopkeepers keep them and earn a small amount of profit, but they don't create any employment opportunities for Indians. Moving to the second category, Chinese phones assembled in India. Well, these are phones which are comparatively less dependent on China. Consider, for example, the phones from Chinese brands like Xiaomi, Vivo, Oppo, Realme. Now, if you happen to have purchased a phone during the, say, last 3 to 4 months, you will notice that they come with a Made in India tag printed on the outer box. Now, this tag can be slightly misleading because they aren't exactly made in India, but yes, they are assembled in factories in India. They also use a lot of locally sourced components, not the major ones, but yeah, they do use it. Well, this is great for employment in our country because these companies own a lot of plants and factories in India. They even have their own offices and R&D centers here, which have been extremely instrumental in providing employment to a lot of Indians. So yeah, it's a win-win situation. The third category comes in with the non-Chinese phones made in China. The classic example of this would be the iPhones. The largest smartphone manufacturers of Apple, which is the Taiwan-based Foxconn Technology Group, has 12 factories in China, and a majority of the iPhones are produced in the largest Foxconn factory located in Shenzhen, which provides employment to more than 400,000 people. I mean, talk about being a mass employer. Well, as per Wikipedia in 2015, Foxconn had announced their plans of setting up 12 factories in India as well, which would create 1 million jobs for the Indian people. But it's 2020 now and we only have two Foxconn plants where Xiaomi, Nokia and some iPhones are being assembled. Foxconn had even signed an MOU with the government of Maharashtra in 2015 to set up an electronics manufacturing plant in Mumbai, but the deal was cancelled. But again, as per latest reports, Foxconn has recently expressed their interest to invest in India. So yeah, that would be a definite boost to India's production capabilities. I mean, look at Samsung for instance. They have been assembling all of their phones in either the Chennai or the Noida plant since 2007. And not only assembly, Samsung also manufactures their PCB boards for processors and other components right here in India. Add to that, Samsung has recently revealed that they plan on setting up the first ever smartphone display plant in India. Now that's an impressive move. Well, if we want more and more brands like Asus, Nokia or even appliance makers like Whirlpool to make their components right here in India, it is going to take a few years to set the plan in motion. But on the bright side, it will create several jobs in India, which will ultimately help reduce our dependency on China. Coming to the fourth category of the real made in India phones, like Micromax. Well, I'm just kidding. Micromax phones are basically Chinese phones. Yes, they are an Indian company, but no, they are not made in India. Instead, they are entirely manufactured, assembled, and imported directly from China. Finding it a little hard to believe? After listening to this episode, go to Google and search where are Micromax phones made and you will have your answer. See, that is the problem. As of now, we don't really have phones that are truly made in India. Phones that are not only assembled here in India, but also made with components that are made in India. This right here is exactly what we need to focus on. And to address this, we move on to point number 4, possible solutions and alternatives. The first thing that needs to be done on a large scale is to attract the manufacturers of smartphone components like the camera sensor, battery, processors, etc., which in turn will drastically reduce import costs and also eliminate the need to source raw materials from China. Only then can we have a true made in India smartphone. Yeah, this will obviously take a few years or even a decade, but this definitely should be the first step. I know a lot of these seems a bit far-fetched, but is it doable? Yes. Is it gonna happen overnight? Definitely not. But yeah, slowly and steadily, we will get there. You see, smartphones are the most extensively used electronic devices in our day-to-day lives, and there is a reason why phones have taken the center stage in this entire boycott China trend. But if you think about it and look at things more broadly, you will understand that China is the biggest factory in the world. Let me put things in perspective. You see, India as a country relies on China for a whole lot of different things, such as pharmaceuticals, plastic toys, automobile components, solar equipments, to name a few. India imports a whopping $65 billion worth of goods every year from China, while China, on the other hand, imports only a meager $16 billion worth of commodities from India. Not only this, India being a booming startup hub with more than 50,000 registered startups, 18 out of the 26 unicorns like Baijus, Ola, Swiggy, Paytm, which have achieved a valuation of more than $1 billion, are funded by Chinese financial powerhouse giants like Tencent and Alibaba. See, at the end of the day, if we Indians really want to be Atmanirbhar or self-reliant, we need a long-term plan with, number one, better government policies to lure companies to manufacture in India. Number two, more investment in startups. Number three, stronger focus on R&D and product innovation. And number four, encouraging Indian startups who are wanting to create alternatives. Like I mentioned earlier, it's not something that can happen overnight. But yes, slowly, by and by, we can definitely win this race. So what would be my call to action? You see, the aim of bringing this discussion to my podcast today was to present a clear, unbiased picture and a more practical perspective of the ground reality behind this entire situation. To be honest, this whole boycott China trend is more prominent on the social media front, but it's extremely important that we look at things more broadly. Also, I would like to request all my listeners to share this episode with your friends and family so that everyone gets to hear the practical side of things. Okay, I admit that was quite an intense discussion, but it was a rather important one. Moving on, I had posted on Instagram last week that in today's episode, I will also be discussing the top 3 smartphones that you can buy between a budget of ₹10,000 to ₹15,000. Now, this is a list that I will keep on updating from time to time as new smartphones keep launching in the market, but before making any addition to this list, I will also assess whether or not the new phone is worthy enough of replacing the ones already in the list. Also, to keep the playing field level, I will compare only the base variants of all the models. So, let's get off the mark with our number 3 contender, the Samsung Galaxy M21. Jumping right into the specifications being offered, the M21 is powered by the Exynos 9611, which is a 2.3 GHz octa-core processor paired with the usual 4GB of RAM and 64GB of onboard storage, which moderately handles multitasking, gaming, and other day-to-day activities like streaming and browsing. There are two things that I absolutely love about this phone. Number one, the 6.4-inch Full HD Plus Super AMOLED display, which has a stunning color reproduction, great contrast levels, and amazing viewing angles even under bright sunlight. Number two, the massive 6000 mAh battery, which simply goes on and on to last you almost 1.5 days under regular usage. Surprisingly, at 188 grams, the phone doesn't feel or look bulky at all, considering the huge battery inside. Coming to the cameras, the M21 features a triple rear setup with 48 megapixel primary, 8 megapixel wide angle and 5 megapixel depth sensor with a 20 megapixel front shooter for selfies. But the problem with the rear camera is that sometimes the photos look great and at other times the photos just come out of focus. I'm not saying the camera is bad, it is just not consistent. Apart from this, it does manage to capture decent portrait shots with average low light performance. Selfies too were good with sharp details thanks to the U-shaped 20 megapixel front sensor. On the software side, the Galaxy M21 runs the latest Android 10 out of the box with Samsung's latest One UI 2.0 on top. The fingerprint scanner on the back and the face recognition is efficient and is able to unlock the phone pretty quick. Priced at ₹13,999/64GB variant, the Galaxy M21 is a decent yet average device and it rightfully deserves the third spot. Coming to our second more powerful contender, the Poco M2 Pro is an excellent budget offering which gives the Samsung Galaxy M21 a serious run for its money. Launched at a price of ₹13,999 for the base variant, the M2 Pro is a well-designed phone with Gorilla Glass 5 on the front as well on the glossy back. It flaunts a vibrant 6.67-inch Full HD Plus LCD display with a punch hole cutout for the 16-megapixel front camera. Speaking of camera, the Poco M2 Pro gets a quad rear camera setup with 48 megapixel primary, 8 megapixel wide angle, 5 megapixel macro and a 2 megapixel depth sensor along with 4K video recording. The camera performance on the M2 Pro is good but not great. In daylight shots, details on images were decently sharp, colors were vivid and the portrait mode worked just fine, but the camera really struggled with exposure and details in low light conditions. Now, coming to the most significant highlight of the Poco M2 Pro, its performance. Featuring a Snapdragon 720G processor, coupled with 4GB of RAM and 64GB of onboard storage, the M2 Pro pulls off multitasking, 4K video recording and intense gaming like PUBG and Call of Duty incredibly well. That being said, the M2 Pro is an extremely refined, performance-driven smartphone designed to handle all the heavy lifting efficiently without breaking a sweat. On the battery front, the device is powered by a 5000 mAh battery with 33W fast charging, which easily lasts up to a day with average usage. The M2 Pro comes with the latest Android 10 out of the box with the rather controversial MIUI on top. The device houses a side-mounted fingerprint scanner with face unlock for accessibility. So basically, the Poco M2 Pro would prove to be a great option in this price segment with amazing performance, sharp display, reliable battery life and a decent camera. Finally, turning our attention to the number one contender, the Realme 6. Most of you might already be familiar with the brand that has recently emerged as a significant player in the Indian market thanks to their best-in-class features along with a high value for money factor. The Realme 6 comes with a refreshing new comet-like design which reflects light brilliantly, thus giving a really premium shine and feel to a budget phone. Under the hood, the Realme 6 is powered by the 2GHz octa-core MediaTek G90T processor paired with 4GB of RAM, 64GB of internal storage and a 4300 mAh battery with 30W fast charging to juice things up. Coming to the display, that's where the Realme 6 really breaks some ground to become the first ever and the only smartphone under the ₹15,000 mark to feature a 90Hz refresh rate display. This basically means that the 6.5-inch Full HD Plus display, which is protected by Gorilla Glass 3, will provide you a much smoother and responsive viewing experience as compared to the other phones available at this price point. The camera on the Realme 6 is yet another highlight of the phone which features a quad rear camera setup with 64 megapixel primary, 8 megapixel wide angle, 2 megapixel macro and another 2 megapixel depth sensor paired with a 16 megapixel punch hole camera at the front. In addition to capturing 4K resolution videos, the Realme 6 manages to pull off stunning daylight images including close-up portrait shots, HDR captures and landscape photos with an incredible amount of detail thanks to the 64 megapixel sensor. However, in low-light environments, the camera struggles a tad bit to keep up with the quality and details of images, but the nightscape mode makes things moderately better. For accessibility, the side-mounted fingerprint scanner on the left does a decent job along with the face recognition mode. Also, the Realme 6 comes with the latest Android 10 out of the box with their very own Realme UI on top. All in all, priced at ₹14,999 for the base variant, the Realme 6 is an impressive smartphone which manages to pack in all the right features for a sub-15,000 phone. Well, I guess it's now time to provide you with the bonus tip that I had mentioned at the beginning of the episode. Considering all the three smartphones that I have just ranked based on a variety of factors, let me further narrow it down to a level that would ease your selection. If you're looking for a performance-driven smartphone that can handle your heavy gaming and multitasking schedule, I would recommend you to buy the Poco M2 Pro. Because at this price point, no other phone would be able to provide you with those heavy internal specifications and also deliver an unmatched performance. Again, if you're looking to buy a smartphone for photography, streaming Netflix, and the regular stuff, I would definitely recommend you to buy the Realme 6 with the incredible camera and the 90Hz display. I can guarantee that at this price segment, the camera on the Realme 6 is the best in class. And if you're looking to buy a smartphone with an impressive battery backup and also a bright, vivid display, go with the Samsung Galaxy M21 because it kind of hits the middle ground between the other two contenders. Okay, the time has come for me to wrap up our today's session of Gadget Forecast. Thank you, dear listeners, for taking time out of your schedule to drop by and listen to my podcast. If you liked what you heard today, please don't forget to follow, subscribe, and share my podcast because I will keep coming back with more such exciting updates and I'm guessing you wouldn't want to miss them. Also, you can reach out to me on the official Facebook and Instagram pages of Gadget Forecast and drop by your valuable feedback. And also do let me know what gadget you would want me to discuss on my next episode. So that's it for today's podcast, folks. Take care and stay safe.